Taxi! Taxi! Taxi!
The time, right now. The characters, you name them, we got them. The scene, New York City. We present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
Now, those of you who listen regular to these Sunday night extravaganzas, and there must be a couple of you, will have gathered by this time that my buddy Red, to say the least, gets carried away now and again. Now, you see, he developed an unfortunate habit in his youth, trying to think. Now, that is okay if you have the necessary gray matter. But with Red, oh boy, it is a constant battle. I mean, when Red tries to think, it's like trying to sweep Grand Central Station with a toothbrush. You just ain't equipped. And neither is Red. But what he lacks in brains, he makes up for in enthusiasm. Now, you take the time he decided he was going to be a best-selling writer.
A writer? Is you kidding? Why, you can't even spell.
I can, too.
Now, you're the only guy I know who spells dear sir, C-U-R.
Well, how do you spell it?
Now, you see what I mean?
No, I don't. You know, they have guys at the book factory that corrects your spelling mistakes.
All right. Okay, Red, be a writer.
I already started. You want to hear what I wrote?
No.
Okay. But before I read it to you, I'd better tell you what sort of book it is.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I figured I could write all kinds of books, but I want to make a lot of dough. So I got to write a bestseller. So I wrote a private nose story.
Now you mean the private eye.
No, this guy is different. He smells trouble. He's a private nose. And I wrote it as if I was the guy, you know.
Yeah, I know. So?
So I'll read it to you. I was sitting in my office one day, enjoying a little peach and quiet.
Red, you mean peace and quiet.
No, he's talking about his girlfriend, peach and quiet. I figure you gotta start the love interest early. Anyway, where was I?
You was in the office.
Oh, yeah. Suddenly, the phone rang. I says to myself, I bet this is a dame, and she is in trouble. I picks up the phone. A voice says, I am a dame, and I am in trouble. What did I tell you? I prepared for action. 6 shots, and I was loaded.
Hey, he getting drunk?
No, the gun. 6 shots, and the gun was loaded. I get into my car. There is only one car like mine in the country.
Yeah, the other one's in the museum.
I get to her apartment.
Hey, that was quick.
I don't want to waste time. I get to her apartment. She opens the door. Well, what do you think?
What do I think about what?
My story. That's as far as I got.
How long did it take you to write this?
Oh, about a week.
Oh, I see. Well, Red, I'll tell you what. At the moment, you has got my interest.
I have?
Yep. But maybe you should write a little more before you get me to pass an opinion.
Gee, thanks, Chuck. I'll write some more tonight.
And he certainly did. That night, he spent at the apartment with a damp towel around his head to keep his brains cool for thinking. And when me and Michael gets back from the movies, he is still at it.
Hi, Red.
Hi, Red.
Stay where you are. Don't move, none of you. I'll fill you full of... Oh!
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Michael. Hey, keep the story. I'm writing so fresh and I get all screwed up.
Yeah, I'll make some coffee.
Yeah, good idea, honey.
Wow, Mr. Spillane, how goes it, huh?
You can laugh. You know that guy's a millionaire today?
Oh, I ain't laughing. Come on, how far are you?
Oh, I'll read you the second book, yeah. He was hanging by a rope from the beam. There were 6 bullet holes through the heart. He had an ice pick between his shoulder blades. There was a sword going in one ear and out the other. Around his lips was the telltale blue of cyanide poison. The leather strap around his throat was pulled so tight, his tongue was hanging out. I examined him closely. He was dead.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but here's the gimmick. How? How do you think he died?
Ha! With all those things, who cares?
Well, He died of starvation. How's that for a gimmick?
So does the hero solve the mystery?
Give him time. I'm only up to page 6. Wait, how much do you reckon I have to write, Chuck?
Well, a good murder mystery's about 200, I suppose.
Uh-huh. Words, lines, or pages?
Pages, you dope.
Oh, gee. So much to do. So little time.
Coming up.
Okay. So you take time out for some coffee, huh? Ah, thanks, honey bunch.
Thanks, Michael. Hey, Chuck.
Yeah?
I'm having a bit of trouble with the hero.
Oh, who's the hero?
Me.
No wonder you're having trouble.
I mean, I am writing it as if it is me. You know, I this, I that.
Oh, what's your problem?
Oh, no problem. Now I worked it out. You want to hear?
Do we have any choice?
I'll read you. I was sitting on the chair, bound to it by special steel straps, which was getting tighter and tighter. The room was waterproof, with no windows, and only one door, which was bolted and barred on the outside. And the water was getting higher and higher. It was up to my chest already. It was only a matter of time before the deadly alligators, which were swimming around me, got hungry. And out of the corner of my eye, I could see the deadly, poisonous water snake was swimming slowly towards me. Through the hole in the roof above my head, the deadly, poisonous gas was seeping slowly towards me and around me. I'd already held my breath for 2 minutes. How much longer could I last?
Oh, boy, you were certainly in some mess.
Say that again. How'd you get him out?
Oh, just one of the little tricks of the trade.
Yeah, what?
Well, at first I was going to let him die. Then I realized if I did that, it would be the end of the book, since he is telling it. And since this happens on page 5, would have been a pretty thin book. So
what happened?
Shall I read the next bit?
Yeah, come on.
I can't wait.
Okay. Well, after that bit, how much longer could I last? There comes a line of those little stars, you know.
After risks.
Yeah. Well, anyway, then the story goes on like this. After I got out of there, I wasted no time in phoning the cops. How about that?
Red, you can't do that.
Why not?
Well, you gotta say how he got out.
Who says there ain't no rules? And anyway, if I did tell you how he got out of there, nobody would believe it. Anyway, whose book is it?
Okay. If you want to do it that way, you do it. Come on, sugar. Time we got going, huh?
No, not yet. I gotta work some more.
Not you.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm ready. Good night, Red.
Good night, Mario. Gee, I wish I had a typewriter.
You think it might go quicker?
No, I can't type. But at least I wouldn't get all this ink all over my fingers.
Well, I drove Michael over to her pad, and I got back to the apartment pretty late. The writer of the great American novel had called it a day and gone to bed. I turned in, too. But it wasn't a very restful night. No, the boy genius was dreaming about the book he was writing. And he was dreaming out loud. I woke him up a couple of times, but that didn't help none. So in the finish, I went into the lounge and slept on the sofa, which, believe you me, Miss Weston, ain't very comfortable. Anyhow, the next morning, we get on the job a little bit late, but reasonable time. And that's when Red's big adventure started. Around 10 o'clock it was.
Hey, Cap.
Yeah?
Follow that car.
Which car?
That one, you dope, over there.
The blue convertible?
That's right. And hurry it up. Keep it inside, but don't get so close that he knows he's being followed. Get me?
Yeah. Sure. Jeez.
Hey, take it easy, will you?
Sure. Leave it to me. Hey, you must be a cop, huh?
No.
Oh, a private nose, huh?
Look, you mind? Just keep your eyes on the road. All this turning around to talk to me makes me nervous.
Sure. Don't worry. I'll keep on his tail. So you want to keep it a secret what you are, huh? Well, I don't blame you. My hero keeps it a secret, too.
Keeps what a secret?
That's a secret. Who's in the car?
Listen, all I want is a driver, not an interview.
Gee, that's a good line. I must remember that. All I want is a driver, not an interview. He thought he got away that time. He's got 2 chances with Sherlock Hammer Perry Spillane on his tail.
Who?
It's the name of my hero.
Hey, watch it, he's turning right. Right, I said right.
So?
So you turn left, you make it loud. Now you lost him.
Funny thing, I always get confused between left and right.
Oh, great. Great, now he's got away.
Never. Just wait till I does a quick U-turn.
Hey, in this traffic, look, you must be out of your mind.
With a flick of the wrist, Sherlock Hammer perished the lane, swung the car around. He smiled his hard smile.
Never mind. Watch what you're doing. Let me just get out of here. Forget the whole thing. It ain't that important.
Never. We will never surrender. Don't worry. There he goes. On to the main drag again. Hang on, mister. Here we go.
And there they went. Now, it just so happened that I dropped the fare and I was pulling along when this blue convertible passed me. He is going like a hijacked jet bound for Cuba. And after him, about 20, 30 yards behind, I sees Red Cap. My buddy is hunched over the wheel like he is in the Indianapolis 500. In the seat behind Red, I catches a glimpse of this guy. And it looks to me like he's holding a gun on Red or something. I couldn't be sure, it all happened so fast. But one thing I am sure of, it looks to me like Red is in some sort of trouble. I guns my old hat, and she jumps forward like a cow pony getting the spurs. I swings out into the outside lane, and I'm off the Red's cap as fast as I can go. Hey, what goes on here?
He ain't getting away, don't worry.
Now, for the last time, forget the whole thing, let me out of here. Look out, he's stopping!
Oh, no!
He's stopping! Oh, no!
I tell you, guys and dolls, what a mess. There was this blue convertible with Red's hat piled into him. The body of the Red's cap was somewhere near the back of the front seat of the convertible. And me, well, I am piled into the back of Red. For a few seconds, nothing happens except that the cloud of dust settles. Then the door of the convertible opens and the guy gets out. I gets out. We both walk towards Red's cap.
Hey, Joe.
Now, what in the name?
Grab that guy, the crook.
What's the big idea running into the back of me like that?
Well, then, mister, you was the one who said to follow him.
This is the wrong guy. Somewhere along the line, we got on the trail of the wrong blue convertible.
Gee, did you mean
that? I mean I am a doctor on my way to an emergency call.
Oh, why was you traveling like a bat out of you know where?
Me? Because this guy's a private detective, and he said to follow that car, which I did.
Who's a private detective? All I wanted to find out was where my wife was going in such a hurry, that's all.
And this guy ain't your wife?
Are you trying to be funny?
No, he ain't, mister. That's just the way he talks.
Yeah? Well, let's see how he talks in court. I'm going to sue him for a package. Just look at the damage to my car.
Never mind his car, I thought. What about Red's and mine? Anyway, the cops is on the scene and the three cars get towed away. Red's is in the worst shape since he got my cab in the back and the convertible in the front. But none of them look too good. Anyways, that puts me and Red out of action while our cab is being repaired. And unfortunately, it also gives Red time to get on with his work of art. Yeah, he's best seller. Merton and me gives up trying to talk to him. On account of all he can do is to try and talk like Humphrey Bogart. He don't seem to realize that maybe the accident is going to cost him a lot of dough. On account of he was traveling at about 70 in a city area. No, not him. He gets on with his great American novel.
Ha, 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 ha. You laughed. With a grin. Smiling as he laughed. There was a chuckle in his sneering laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Why do you laugh in that smiling, grinning, chuckling, sneering, laughing way, she asked. Shut, he sneered, up. Taking a sharp knife from a secret sheath under his armpit. Unless you tell me, I will carve my name on your forehead. She screamed, if only his name was Bob Smith. But Archibald Meriwether Forsyth Cosgrove, on her forehead. Gee, that's exciting. Do I say so myself? Stand back. Oh.
Kowalski.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe? Yes, you're asking you, Kowalski.
Yeah.
I'm the messenger of the court. You gotta be in B court Friday morning. Accident. Here's the speedo. Good ahead.
Yeah? What's good about it?
Better be there. Otherwise, there'll be a warrant out for you. And you can get 30 days for contempt just for breathing hard.
Huh. Suing me for $1,000 damages, is he? Well, he they don't know who he's dealing with. I'll conduct my own defense. That's what I'll do.
Come Friday, me and Michael goes along with the big lunkhead to court. He won't get himself a lawyer. Oh, no, no. Perry Kowalski is going to do it all by himself. Well, the case for the state is simple. He drove into the back of the doctor's convertible. So then the judge says, who is appealing for the defense?
I appeal for the defense, your worship.
You intend to conduct your own defense?
Yes, your highness.
Already I know he's going to be found guilty.
What else? He did run into the back of the doctor's car.
For my first witness for the defense, I called the accused.
But that is yourself.
That is right. I want to ask me a few questions. You are Red Kowalski.
Yes, I am.
You are a taxi driver?
Yes, I am.
You are...
Just a minute. This is ridiculous.
Ain't I allowed as counsel for the defense to question the accused?
Well, of course, but in the circumstances, Mr. Kowalski, surely it would be easier if you merely, in your capacity as the accused, made a statement.
Or I might forget something important. That's why I got me as an attorney, to make sure of me.
Well, all right, proceed, but don't waste the court's time.
Certainly not, Your Highness. Now, Kowalski, why did you run into the blue convertible? Because it stopped. And why was you following it? Because I had been hired to do so by this crook.
What crook is this?
You heard the judge's question, Kowalski. What crook is this? The crook who hired my cab had told me to follow the car. Thank you. No more questions. My car is my next witness. The crook.
You can't go saying things like that. Who do you want to call?
The guy who hired my cab, I don't know his name.
Well, no doubt the police officer who investigated the accident knows his name. Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Obvious name and address, but he's not in court. He was not called as a state witness.
You wish this man to be subpoenaed?
No, just tell him to be here.
Well, that's what I... All right. Case adjourned until tomorrow to enable the police to contact this man.
Listen, Red, why don't you just agree that you're guilty and offer to pay off the $1,000? I mean, after all, you did do it.
Yeah, but you don't understand, Michael. You see, this guy hired me. I was just doing what I was told. So he's the guy who should pay.
Nah, Red, it won't work that way. Look, if he told you to drive in the river, would you have done that?
Now, don't confuse things with no rivers, Chuck. This guy is the guilty one. And just wait till I get him in the witness box tomorrow.
Silence in court?
No, Mr. Kowalski, it appears that as yet the passenger in your cab has not been traced by the police. We cannot afford another adjournment. Is there any other witness you wish to call?
Yes, Your Excellency, Chuck Edwards.
Oh, Chuck Edwards!
What do you
want to
call you for?
Search me, honey. We'll soon find out.
Mr. Edwards, do you know the accused?
Yeah.
Who is he?
You big lug.
No, I mean, look, Chuck, don't be difficult.
I'm afraid the court cannot allow this ludicrous state of affairs to continue. What do you wish to know of this witness?
I was leading up to that.
Well, don't lead up to it. Ask it.
Yes, Your Majesty. Why did you follow me?
Because you was usually a safe driver, and you were traveling at such a speed, I thought there must be something wrong.
Aha, aha, aha! Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? Where's the jury?
There is no jury in a case of this nature.
Oh, gee, that would have stopped Perry Mason right between the eyes.
Who is this Mason character? Was he involved in the accident?
No, Your Supremacy. He's got nothing to do with the case.
Then why mention him?
It is a trick on the part of the prosecution. No more questions, Mr. Edwards. You may stand down.
So far, Mr. Kowalski, you have proved nothing except that you were traveling at a speed in excess of the city limit.
Mr. Judge, I need this crook.
Where is this man? What is his name, Sergeant?
The name and address that he gave to the officer at the scene of the accident appears to be false, Your Honor.
Aha, 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 aha.
Shut up. So, where is this man?
We have so far been unable to trace him, Your Honor.
Uh-huh.
One more uh-huh out of you, Kowalski, and I will find you guilty of contempt of court.
Ooh.
much as I disapprove of the behavior of the accused...
As counsel for the defense, I protest on behalf of my client.
Don't you shut up.
Ah, you know that.
And much as I disapprove of the misbehavior of the counsel for the defense...
As accused...
And one more word out of either of you, Kowalski. Oh, my goodness. However, the fact remains that the man who hired the cab must be found. Case adjourned for 3 days to allow this person to be traced and apprehended.
Well, I don't know what Red was achieving, except that he was creating quite a stir. Just how much of a stir, we didn't know until we get a call from the reporter. And what a reporter. Oh, boy, it is a dame reporter. With one of them soft ways of talking, like she was lapping up cream all the time.
Tell me, Mr. Kowalski, why are you so keen to get this man on the witness stand?
On account of he's a crook.
Well, the fact that he used a false name and cannot easily be traced would seem to lend credence to that.
So you don't believe me, huh?
But I do. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, maybe it started out that way, but by the time it got to me...
How did you know he was a crook?
Well, when a guy gets into your cab and says, follow that car, he is either a private detective or a crook. At first, I thought this was a private detective, but he can't have been.
Why was that, Mr. Kowalski?
Well, if he's a crook, he can't be a private eye, can he?
No.
There you are, then. And I have a few surprises up my sleeve for that court tomorrow.
Well, the next day in court, there is certainly a few surprises. And the first one is when this guy who hired Red is brought in between two policemen in handcuffs yet.
Sergeant, I see you have managed to trace the man who hired the cab.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that the man, Kowalski?
That's him, Your Emotion. And my client says so, too. He's a crook.
I have already warned you. You cannot make unfounded accusations like that. Why is the man in handcuffs, Sergeant?
He is wanted in 13 states for various charges, and in the state of New York on a charge of blackmail.
Now who says he ain't a crook?
Shut up. There's a matter for another court. This court is concerned in whether or not you, Kowalski, are liable for the damages to the doctor's car.
I bet that doctor is prepared to drop the charge. Ask him, Your Reverence.
Is the doctor in court?
Your Honor, I appear on behalf of the doctor. As a matter of fact, Mr. Kowalski is correct. My client would prefer to drop the charge against him and be responsible for his own damages.
Well, you're quite sure. As far as your client is concerned, the fact of the man who hired the car which went into him being a wanted man does not alter his claim at all.
Nevertheless, sir, my client would still prefer to drop the charge.
As you please. Kowalski.
Aye, aye, sir.
The charge against you is dropped. Each party in the accident is responsible for their own damages.
Gee, Red, you was marvelous.
Yeah, you did all right, buddy boy. Say, how'd you know that doctor's going to drop the charges, huh?
Well, these sort of things come easy to us writers.
Oh, wait for it. Wait for it.
You see, I knew I didn't make no mistake and follow another convertible. That was the one that guy told me to follow in the first place. So, why did he pretend it was the wrong guy? Because he was a blackmailer, and he was following the guy to get something on him. That's why. And the doctor thought that whatever he had to hide might come out in court. He dropped the case. Simple, huh?
Was exciting, all right.
Exciting? Ah, that was nothing. Wait till you read the next page of my story.
Ah, no!
It was only a couple more days, and me and Red had our caps back, and we was on the rent once more. In fact, life was pretty well back to normal, if there is such a thing with Red around. Even Red's story seemed to have faded into the background. I asked him about it.
Well, you see, Chuck, I worked it out. Look, my story would make a fortune, all right. But at the rate I am managing to write it, I figure I'll be finished around about my 73rd birthday. Who wants to make a fortune at that age?
So there you are. The literary world is safe for the time being.
Taxi is written and produced by Joe Stewartson, directed by David Goodman. George Carellin plays Chuck Edwards.
Red is Tony Jay, and Myrtle is played by Pat Saunders.